Welcome back to another episode of the Sweaty Hugs, Salty Kisses Travel Podcast. This is episode one now. It's glad to have everyone on board. Hopefully we've got a few people listening to us this time. And I want to introduce my host.
My name is Marta and...
And I'm Mandel. So yeah. We're both your hosts for this show. So if you haven't tuned in to the pilot episode that we had... Basically, we just want to have this podcast to discuss all things travel, really. We want to talk about travel without the cliche, I guess.
Yeah, and without limitations that we only discuss like luxury travel or only hitchhiking. Any kind of travel, we are open to explore different kinds and learn from people and also share some of our tips and stories, because it's been quite a few of these in our short lives.
Definitely. And any questions or any stories or tips that like any of our listeners can give us, you can post questions or send us a message. We're going to have our Facebook and our Twitter up on the screen. And I guess like you can leave messages for YouTube. And yeah. Are we going to have an email address? Are we going to have an...
Yeah, probably we'll set up some email address. So any form of... You know, you want to send us a question over, we are open and we will answer.
We'll try our best to answer it.
Yeah. Or we'll bring some people who have more knowledge about this particular topic.
Yeah, we'll hire some specialists. So the topic of today's discussion, I guess, or the starting topic that we want to really dig into is travel important? So the importance of travel, any benefits of it, and like, you know, what we think they could be, really, just to summarize some based on our kind of thoughts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think in general, for people, travel becomes more important the more they experience it. Some people, it just feels natural to them because they've been traveling since they were kids with their parents. And I think I was one of these kids growing up with my parents running a small business and traveling from one supplier to the other in the 90s. So it was pretty obvious to me that like spending a lot of time like on the road trips, it was just a part of the life. I don't really remember now, but it still feels good. And I'm really like happy every time I get to do it again.
It wasn't that long ago, was it?
So it depends.
My childhood is a blur.
So yeah, as a kid I was traveling with my parents, and then I started traveling by myself with my friends, boyfriends, by myself, and explored that freedom in different ways.
Yeah. 100%. So, I mean, in terms of like, is it important? I mean, I guess it takes a little while to see any, maybe it takes a little while, a bit of maturity maybe, to realize benefits. Mm-hmm. I think that like most of us, when we start off, we're more having like holidays, instead of travel. So I think that like when I was growing up, I was going on holidays quite a lot with my parents. It was very like frugal, low budget travel, mostly driving around Europe in a beat up old van, basically. So I think my parents were like van lifers at some point, but I never really thought about it as being unusual, I guess, because from maybe like the age of 3 or 4, mm-hmm. I remember being in nowhere really that glamorous, mainly just going to France, Spain, and like a little bit of Portugal every so often. So I guess I didn't really think about it as being out of the ordinary. And then I think when I became like a teenager, then I would go on some holidays here and there, mm-hmm. mainly with like parents as well. Well, always with parents when I was a teenager. And I guess I just thought about it as like, you go into a nice place to enjoy it. It's a nicer place than where you live, obviously. And I didn't really think much of it. I think it came like much later on that I started to think about it in terms of why it's good, and like, you know, what it does for you as a person, and things maybe that you can realize about yourself. I think there's a lot of like self-learning to be had from travel. So I mean, like travel sort of when you've gone on a I don't know if you could say unplanned, but instead of going to one set place and staying there until the end of your trip, you've kind of like gone with the flow and been open to sort of spontaneous decisions, I guess, spontaneous paths maybe that you could take, like whether it's other people have asked you, you know, if you want to go somewhere, or
mm-hmm.
you know, whether you've gone somewhere that you plan to go for a week and then you found out on the first day that you're already bored and then you're just like, maybe I'll go somewhere else and keep moving. So
I think what is like worth splitting apart is we thinking about like traveling, not pretty much a holiday. So I think these are like two very different things. And I think I've been to a couple of holidays where, you know, you go on a cruise or you stay in that hotel for like all the days, and that was always feeling quite underwhelming and didn't really put you in these situations where you can, you know, be challenged, learn about yourself, learn about the culture, try a different food, because if you have a buffet, none of these is like really what you would eat on the street just outside of the resort you're staying in or hotel. So I think the travel in general is like the more you push yourself and you leave yourself up to whatever events are happening in like on the go, then the more exciting it is. And I think like what is really unique about it, that you can find yourself enjoying things you never thought you would, because you never put yourself in these situations back home.
So more of getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, definitely. And just being open, because when people are away from their normal home, normal life, I think it's easier to convince someone to do something like different, because it's that special time when you just do something crazy and have a memorable time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like maybe like holiday is sort of more based around like relaxation, maybe, and like mm-hmm. you only get so many surprises when you're on a holiday. Like I remember we'd go somewhere, you know, whether it's like some seaside place in Spain or something, and pretty much a holiday just meant you were gonna like relax, or your parents pretty much were gonna relax. And so I think that maybe when it becomes travel more, I think is when you start really exploring, and mm-hmm. And you can explore places that are really well known, or
yeah.
you can start like venturing out to places that you've never heard of. And I think it's like maybe it becomes travel really when you step into the unknown and you start to try and discover things that you've never heard of. Or like the way I like to think about it is, if you get certain curiosities, then
mm-hmm.
you sort of want to dig deeper into those curiosities and really satisfy them in a way, you know, whether it's like yeah. trying new food, or you know, you've heard about a new market or a new part of town, or
are you just nature very often, area. Mm-hmm. We end up in places just because we went past a certain location and something dragged our attention. So we turned to that street, we went inside that little restaurant, and that's why these places just came across us, and it's not like we searched for them, they just appeared on our path. And
so if you're in like towns and cities sort mm-hmm. of thing, yeah because
yeah.
it's quite like easy, well it's easy, and it's quite common for people to, you know, sort of pinpoint all of the places on their navigation of like landmarks that they want to see. And I think what that leads to a lot of the time is that people sort of all carve a very similar route. Like we mm-hmm. saw that a lot in like say Florence, where most of the tourists that are in like this train, like they take these tours, and it's almost like one of those conga lines. It's like when mm-hmm. the people are all got their hands on the shoulders of the person in front, because
yeah.
they're all following the same route, because they think that's the ideal route to see maybe this cathedral, and then you can see this square, and then you can go past this alleyway where maybe like Da Vinci used to like pick his mm-hmm. nose or something, you know, and they sort of like string these things together. And then what that sort of leads to, I think, is there's a lack of like self-discovery, and mm-hmm. you're being led to things instead of you discovering them, which I think is interesting, because if we stay like on the topic of towns and cities, I've been to some cities before, and we've been to places before where we would leave, like, you know, the apartment or the rental place or a hotel or whatever, and you just pick a direction when you get out of the place, and you start going down the street, and you don't really use the maps. I think traveling like in these big metropolitan spaces without a map is, I find, is like the most rewarding, because, like you say, if you get to a junction of some kind, like a street intersection or something, you pretty much just look which way is the most interesting, and then
yeah, we always go by the interest and like which has like more flashy lights or something which just really feels magnetic to us, and we follow the hunch, and yeah,
well, not always the flashy lights. I mean, if you're in a place at night and you want to avoid a lot of the tourists, sometimes you go the opposite way from where everything is lit and looks super lively, because that's sometimes where all the tourists are. I mean, you know, sometimes that can be a little bit scary and dodgy. I remember in Barcelona before going down a certain like alleyway at nighttime with some bars, and it was quite narrow, and I was heading down this alleyway, and there were like, you know, a couple of people here and there just outside with a drink, smoking or whatever, and it seemed like the more that I've progressed down these kind of alleyways, that the darker it got, and it sort of seemed to look like less welcoming. And obviously I had my like camera and things out, and they were quite visible, and it got to a point where the only people that were hanging out outside bars looked very sketchy. Like,
okay.
I don't know if you've ever seen from a movie where there's always some strange like guy where he's doing that thing with a cocktail stick in his mouth, where they like rotate the cocktail stick vertically around, and
it's just, I've been waiting for you.
Yeah, they look more like opportunists waiting to like pounce on you. So, and what that ended up being was that I decided that turning around and walking back the other way would be like a sort of like submissive kind of sign of fear or something. So I thought, okay, I'll keep going, and this alleyway at some point will lead me out onto the main street. And what I ended up getting to was like an enormous group of police in the distance, maybe 15 of the Spanish police.
Oh wow.
It was the Mossos, so it's quite the serious ones, and they looked very casual. There were like 15 or 20 of them. They were all like smoking cigarettes, which you don't see very much back in the UK. And just as I was approaching where they were, like outside the police van, the alleyway went round like a sharp right angle turn, and the group of them all started walking that way, and so obviously I decided to follow them, because I'll be safe behind them. And we maybe walked for like 10 seconds 15 seconds, and there were a couple of a couple of wasters, I guess, just like stood up against the wall in between a couple of these bars, and they were being like searched by the police and questioned. And and when I like glanced down at the floor behind a couple of like rubbish dumpsters, there were a selection of weapons that had been seized.
Oh my god.
There were like a couple of knives, and there was like it was like something out of a video game. There was like a nail board, like a big beam of wood with like a nail hanging out of the end, and it was some kind of chain.
It was a kind of weapon.
Yeah, it was like it was very primitive, kind of like ogre weapon. It was like your rusty nail poking through the end of a wooden board.
Ooh.
You know, so a couple
not
of
very inviting.
Yeah, definitely not very good. So maybe about 4 or 5 weapons. So yeah, it made me think, like, if I had gone down there, you know, maybe a few minutes earlier or half an hour earlier, then if someone is going to rob you or mug you, you know, then you're not going to be able to do anything, because they've got those kind of weapons and things with
them. You better
them.
Give everything away just to keep yourself safe.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, in terms of that, like, I kind of learnt my lesson from that, in terms of, like, sometimes it's good to avoid where the tourists go, but sometimes if it looks a little bit too quiet, it could be a bit sketchy.
Yeah,
so you learn that.
Maybe for men not so much, but for women it's very often the case. Even in big cities, sometimes it's even more likely that you know someone will start talking to you, and if it's late in the night, you don't really want to interact with anyone. So that's like a big thing to consider. So for traveling women, that some places are just on a different level of interaction with each other. So that might get really, really scary. It didn't really happen to me before, but I know that very often girls are like sharing experiences of being like harassed on the street.
So of catcalling going on.
Yeah, yeah, but obviously that rarely happens. Not like Travis all about it. It's just, you know, for the balance of amazing experience and something which just kind of like makes you question, is it a really good place to be?
Yeah, so there's certain places, like certain events and things can give places a bad name, I guess, but yeah, I think in a way it's like it can make you, travel can make you like more aware of things, and I don't think it makes you more scared. Maybe it depends on the kind of person you are, but I think it's the opposite. I think that one thing that I've realized going to different places, you know, around Europe, is that like I very like rarely feel scared of things, because, you know, whether it's walking the streets like really late at night in some European city, or, you know, exploring some random village somewhere, or places where people would never know how to find you from back home, I always seem to think that, like, you know, London is probably the most dangerous place I've been. So if I can like walk through London at any hour of the night and be okay, then I generally apply that rule that, you know, whether I'm somewhere in Germany or Italy or Bulgaria or something, I'll be fine. And it's pretty much always works out that way. I think it opens your eyes to different places and makes you realize people aren't necessarily scary in places that you go to, because a lot of the time people are very similar to where you've come from. You know, you can make friends with somebody, for example, in a different country, like on your travels, and you can be surprised at like how many things you actually have in common with them, even though they've lived a completely different life.
In general, I think people, like deep down in their soul, people are good and they want to help you have a good experience. Like, they appreciate when you try to learn a bit of their language.
Most people, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not everyone is good.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. But I think, you know, people prefer to be, like, the good player rather than the bad player.
I think that the amount of good people, like, far outweighs the amount of bad people. And you could say that, like, a bad, dangerous person is probably equivalent to, like, 10 people. But, you know... Yeah, definitely.
These stories tend to go further if you said something about your bad experience versus if you had a really good one, because, you know, there's no drama included. So definitely, very often we just find that places are not as scary, and there is always something like nice to find about the people who are around there.
Yeah, and only because something bad or scary happens to someone somewhere does not mean that that's going to happen to you. It just could just be a case of like wrong place, wrong time.
They kind of grow as kind of like a local legend that something happened like 20 years ago it's still going on about
this. This is the hotspot.
Yeah,
for sure. 100%. And I think definitely for that, it's something in terms of, I think, why travel is important. One thing that I definitely like to try and share with people that are like thinking about traveling, or that maybe have never done like a kind of travel like that of their own, whether they're going with like a partner or friends or by themselves, is it's really good for like defeating any kind of, or at least tackling any kind of mental, like, I don't necessarily want to say mental illnesses, but maybe like mental challenges, like whether you've got like anxiety or, you know, something like that, then I think it's definitely it's a good way to tackle some of those things, or like depression or something. It's amazing how much progress you can make on some of those issues when you take yourself out of your normal surroundings, because I think a lot of the time, like, maybe things like depression and anxiety, it's like there's a distinct like lack of self-belief and self-worth going on. So people maybe don't feel like they have a purpose, and people feel like they're not capable of much, or people often, it's like what they think people think of them. So, you know, I don't think that people think I'm anything, or that I'm good at anything, or that I make a difference So then, and they start to believe it, that they can't make a difference to the world, or that their life basically is like meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, people have these things even when they're employed. They have good jobs, they have a lot of, you know, these kind of things back home in their normal life, but they don't feel any kind of like value from their life anymore. And if you can sort of make that initial move to just like plan a trip, just like decide to just go anywhere, you know, somewhere unusual. Maybe you pick a place where there's like a cheap flight going on.
Yeah.
And even better, if you don't know much about that country, you haven't heard much about it, but maybe you just think of one place that a friend recommended that you've like never ever been, and just go. Because like, I think the moment that you get there and you've got yourself to the airport or however you've managed to get there, the moment that you get off the plane and you've got your luggage and everything, you're essentially on your own at that point. And without that becoming overwhelming, it's like you could feel overwhelmed and like you can't do it, but that doesn't get you anywhere. So taking those first steps to like you know, getting yourself in a transport so you can get to where your accommodation is, mm-hmm. and then unloading your stuff, and I think you become so so consumed and so busy with what you have to do all the time that you actually, I don't want to say you start to forget, but you start to crack on with something, which is like usually being anxious or being depressed. It stops you from progressing or moving on with things.
Yeah, you're just ticking off all these little tasks you have to perform to get to place. And maybe you have some wants or needs you need to fulfill on a place on your location. And then just like having these like normal, trying to, you know, perform your life somewhere outside of your usual surroundings just feels so different. Like it's new, but at the same time might feel like you replicate some experience, like having a morning coffee but in a different place, in a different country where the weather is, you know, everything is just so different, but at the same time you get to control what is happening in your life. You get to shape your day, because I think like one of the important parts when you like are outside of your normal cycle, you probably will not work. So that part of the day you get to spend, you know, reflecting a bit on your life, on what you want to do with it. Do you want, like, you know, you actually much have time to ask yourself, is the way my life looking like right now the way I would like, you know, for it to continue? And is there anything I would like to change? Maybe travel a bit more to have these quiet moments just with yourself to look inside.
100%, yeah, 100% agree with that. Yeah, I definitely think that you end up with, when you're not going to work every day, then you end up with all this free time that it almost feels like you don't know what to do with it. It can become very difficult to choose, you know. For me, it's like going into like a newsagent's off license, like back home in London, and trying to pick like a chocolate bar. so many damn chocolate bars, and you know, you don't really know which one to pick and where to get started. But yeah, it allows you a lot of time to think about like where you're going with things, and not just that, but like where you've been. And and I think quite a lot of the time that like reflection is, especially if you live in like a busy city or you've got like a very busy job, even if you work from home but you're doing like a lot of hours and things, like you often, like, you know, days go by, weeks go by, a lot of the time during the week you're just counting down towards the weekend. Mm-hmm. The weekend seems to go by like in a flash, and then before you know it you're at Monday again, already hoping for Friday, and it's like you pretty much end up like wishing your life away. And you don't really get much time to think about like strategy or, you know, your own happiness or anything like that. So, and people become quite bad at maybe catching up or, you know, or anything like that with people around them, or realizing like what people think about them or what they're doing for them. So I think that for that, being able to reflect on stuff without like dwelling on things yeah, it clears your mind, and it definitely allows you to figure some things out. It's great. Like they say, a lot of people don't go like on travels just when they're happy, but I think that if you ever get to like a big kind of, you know, crossroads in your life, whether you've like lost the job, or you've had like some big breakup, or you know, something unexpected has happened and you don't really know what to do, I think that like a lot of the time, if you've got the means to, like the best thing to do is to like just plan a trip anywhere and just go, because the answers like start coming to you, you know, and you can do it however you like. You can sit around for most of the day and try and think, but it seems that it comes like more naturally. Like I find that just exploring or walking in general like brings so many ideas to your head, you know. It's almost like if you're walking with like no major like jobs on your mind, errands to run other than just feeding yourself and keeping yourself safe, then it seems that like just ideas and perspectives and things just sort of come naturally, you know.
Yeah, and by changing your like place where you are, you get to look at your life from a distance, so you can see maybe reasons, like, you know, your life turned this way, and you can start with blank canvas because you're not in that daily struggle. You're not like, you know, in the same house. It's so different that you can even, you know, try to not think about it at all, but if that thought's coming to your head, then it's not because you've seen something familiar, it's because, like, you know, you're trying to figure out within yourself, with like inside of your head.
Yeah, definitely, like the routine and the safety of your comfort zone, like, you know, definitely a thing I found is sometimes, you know, if people are suffering from depression, like, you know, I had that for a few years in like my early 20s, and one thing I realized once I come out of it is that in a way, like, I was so comfortable with my routine of like not going outside, and sometimes, like, well, a lot of the time, not even opening the curtains during the daytime and pretty much just being a bit of a hermit, is that I knew I was doing that, and like that is kind of like I wanted to keep that cycle going. So when I figured out a way to like get out of that kind of really negative depressive state, I realized that pretty much the whole time I'd been trying to stay in that state. You know, you find some sort of comfort and safety in staying in that, and it's very similar with like anxiety. It's many times there's some mechanisms or barriers in a way that stop you from doing the most basic simple things, like, and just bury your head in the sand. And but that's only possible because you can rely on your everyday structure, like a lot of your main resources being supplied for you. For example, like maybe you can, you know, you can order the food and you don't have to leave the house, and maybe you can communicate this, you know, via email or electronically, and you don't have to talk to someone on the phone, and you can make sure you don't have to see people face to face. But when you start to travel, you've got no choice anymore, because you know, if whether you've gone to, like, it doesn't happen so much in hotels, but definitely happens if you go to do like some sort of group activities, or if you go to, like, say, hostels, like hostels are definitely not like youth hostels, I think, a lot of the time, which is the way they're perceived. Like, it's good because you get to meet like young and old people, but if you just go there and like hang out in this communal area, it's very unusual. Like, you can find it very hard to make friends like back home that are like in the real world, but you will get someone just come up to you and just introduce themselves, just start talking to you. Before you know it, you've got somebody asking you, like, oh, you know, so like, how long have you been here, and like, you know, where have you traveled to before, and, you know, where are you from, and what's that like, and, you know, what do you do for a job, and it's crazy. Like, actually, that is crazy how easy it can become, and before you know it, people that are really introverted actually become quite chatty. So
yeah, I think people in these places, they kind of looking for that interaction. So if someone wouldn't want to be around other people, they would go to like an apartment, but because they want to make these friends, they want to have chance to talk to someone and you know, maybe spend a day or two, explore something together. That's the place to be.
I think like the old sign that like, I don't want to be bothered was to like read a book. And I think that the new way of saying like, leave me alone, is to just look down at your phone. Because a lot of the time,
new book, yeah.
You know, I mean, I've had a couple of times where I've been looking at a phone, at my phone, and like somebody started talking to you while you're doing something on your phone. And you got that decision to make. It's like, okay, am I going to carry on scrolling or whatever I'm doing, or am I going to actually like address this person? And you know, the phone will always like come again, it will always be there, but the person could, you know, it could have been quite hard for them to actually say the initial hello and introduce themselves. You know, they could be another person that struggles to meet people and interact, and you know, if you kind of deny them that, you know, and there's something that you're looking at improving on yourself, then that feels like a missed opportunity. That you might not get that opportunity from them again. So,
mm-hmm. You know. And you know, there's always something interesting about other people, which they can, you know, change the way you think. And I think it's quite easy to share a bit of secrets about yourself with someone you don't really know that much. So they can act like, you know,
so
a bit
much,
of a therapist,
yes,
for you.
It's definitely so much easier to tell your secrets to a stranger. Like, you know, you can open up to somebody that you've never met before, because I guess you've got that feeling of like, I'm never gonna see you again.
Yeah. And so you're gonna, yeah, like, you know, if you even gonna remember what I've told you, we don't have any friends in common, so no one really gonna care. And you know, we just had some time together, and we managed to, you know, build some relationship.
Yeah, there's no, yeah, something actually quite exciting about going to places where nobody knows who you are, because you can actually be
someone else sounds
quite bad, but you can be whoever you like, you know. You can, if you decide that you don't want to be who you usually are, you can do that. I mean, if you think that a lot of the time back home, you know, it seems like people are very quick to like judge each other, even their friends and you know, work colleagues, because they know a little bit about them, or because they know your previous history, or there's some sort of expectation, you know. I don't know, whether you wanted to like date a certain guy or girl, or you wanted to try something that was really out of the blue that maybe your friends wouldn't agree with, it could influence you to like not do it, and so on. Whereas if you go to a place where, like, you know, it's like, if you travel far enough that like nobody knows your name, then you really get a sense of like, you know, almost like being reborn. It's like starting again. And one thing that I definitely found as well is that you know, you can tell a lot about like what people think of themselves by how much they talk about themselves, for example. So you can meet people and have a very good like back and forth, like, you know, a bit of a, yeah, like conversation, like a bit of a tennis sort of bat and ball kind of situation. But you'll find that if you get out of the small talk stage and the other person is like so interested in telling stories about themselves that they forget to ask you questions, that kind of tells you that they probably do that with everyone.
Yeah.
And they're not really interested in who you are. They just want to talk at somebody. They don't want to talk to somebody. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, because they want to just like share their story excessively, and like, this is like the only story you know get to know at the night. We met one guy like this in
God, this guy. Yeah, well, do you know what, he initially seemed like quite a nice guy. We arrived in this like industrial city and like northeastern Romania, called Iași, and you know, we got there quite late, and I think we wanted to blow off some steam, even though we had to wake up like early the next day.
Yeah, we just wanted to go out for some drinks and have a bit of a bite, meaning some food.
And we found a bar.
Yeah, we found a really nice bar. We ordered like one drink, and we're making some like video clips for our YouTube channel. And this guy, he could hear that we speaking English between each other, and he just like waved at us and approached us, introduced himself.
We could have pretended that we didn't see either way. I mean, like, we lasted about 2 or 3 minutes at the table alone until, you know, he kind of like waved at you like it was someone that you wish you never saw again from your past, and you're like, oh, it reminds me of kind of like, it's like Chandler from Friends whenever he sees Janice again.
Oh yeah, it's just like, oh my god, why am I here? Can I just disappear for a moment? Oh my god,
like, you can't see me right now. I'm not me. It looks like me, and it's, you know.
And they're like, hello!
It's that kind of like, this is a really funny one. I don't know if you guys have had this, like, you know, from where you're from, but sometimes when you visit places, especially Spain, maybe because there's a big, like, expat community, but it seems that if you hear other people speaking English, then you register, okay, they're English speaking, they're British in some kind of way. But if they hear you, like, as we say, we don't want to blow your cover, if they hear you speaking English quite a lot of the time, it's this, like, it's
instant,
like,
friends.
Let's wave at them because they're also British.
Yeah.
And it can get quite cringy because we, you know, I don't know how to react to that sometimes. And Mark was exactly like that. I mean, he was in Romania, and I think that he could have, there were a lot of other tables of people, and he could have quite easily chosen to speak and interact, introduce himself to anyone on any of the other tables, right? And
he was already by some other table. He just, like, moved to the next thing, and we were the next thing.
Yeah, we were, yeah, unfortunately, like, we were just being polite. And then you get the situation, because you're talking to them table to table, then it seems quite rude that you haven't invited them yet. But we didn't actually even get to invite him yet. He didn't get time because he was just like, whoa, actually.
He already grabbed his drink.
He grabbed his drink and cigarettes. And as he was asking us if it was okay to join, he basically joined.
Yeah.
You know, and the night went on. And I think that in the first 20 minutes, we managed to have a good 50-50, you know, bat and ball in terms of, like, we tell a story, you tell a story. But then it became more obvious, that it became more, like, clear to us that he wasn't really listening to our story. I think that it was more that he had so many good stories to tell that he did not have, like, a pause button.
And he had, like, sometimes, I don't know, I find it about myself that I just don't remember everything, like, you know, like a machine gun. But he was like a machine gun. He had these stories, like, you know, lined up properly.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what? It's not that we didn't like him, and it's not that, like, I would never talk to him again. If I saw him in another bar, like, for sure I would talk to him. Probably, like, 20 minutes before closing time.
Yeah, but, like, so we don't have to look at each other and just trying to figure out the exit way.
Yeah, he was very, maybe, I think a lot of people, like, they don't know this. And I think I used to be like that, like, a few years ago. It's like some people are very, like, socially dominant, like, not on purpose, but they get very carried away, and they're quite confident with speaking in groups of people. That I think that when it's like that, the more people that there are, the more dominant they'll become.
Yeah.
And sometimes it seems to be, like, classic characteristics is that those stories that they tell, they always tell those stories.
Yeah.
And they always make sure they can get through as many stories as possible. And they're amazing at linking one topic to another topic, which is how they stay on the microphone so long. Because you can go from a story about Thailand to end up talking about, I don't know, a story somehow about, like, Austria. And then you could be talking about, like, I don't know, Mozambique or something. And I have no idea how they connect it. But
there's no way to, like, jump in because there's no gaps. Everything is really tightly packed with information. I mean, these stories, like, he could probably write a book, we don't necessarily want to listen to a book when we look like we were on a date. We were just, like, in the evening having a drink, and then all of a sudden this, like, middle-aged guy just joins and, you know, ruins our time.
Yeah, I think, I think that that's another great thing in terms of, you know, meeting people when you travel, is that, like, you realize a lot about yourself. And and I have to, like, I would just have to admit that, like, when I started to do a bit of solo travel, then I was telling some stories in groups, and over time I became more excitable, and, you know, I always wanted to have a little bit of a piece of the limelight, I guess, in a way. I guess it was very attention seeking, but I didn't really realize. And it's only when I started, like, filming adventures and filming myself that I came to realize that actually I'm really, like, I don't know, like, really, like, overwhelming, and I found myself irritated on video. So, and I found that, like, just, like, added alcohol just completely added fuel to the fire. So I think from that I decided to take a step back and just to enjoy like listening more than sharing,
mm-hmm.
and like because then you notice a lot more about what's going on in a group.
Yeah, so. Because if you're the only event happening in the group, then obviously you know all your stories already.
Yeah.
So it's definitely you have like limited possibility to learn about other people and discover something. Like if as long as it's only you speaking, you don't learn.
True. Yeah, that's it. And yeah, yeah, definitely. I think that you can learn a lot from other people, and sometimes if you want to meet new people when you travel, then sometimes going for the like mysterious quiet angle can be quite effective, I find. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can sort of do your own thing for a bit, but it's great for that because you can learn things about different people's ways of life, and actually another cool thing is that you can learn so much about places that maybe you're going to go or you're planning to go next.
Mm-hmm.
I had like something like that with Serbia and Belgrade in Serbia.
Yeah.
That like it seemed that every other person I asked recommended it, and then the every mm-hmm. other one from that said don't go there, it's not worth it. So you had no idea.
So in this case you just have to try it for yourself.
You just don't know, because some mm. people say it's just rubbish and there's nothing there, and other people say yeah, it's amazing, I loved it. And
why is like such, you know,
yeah.
it brings so much attention, this place.
Yeah, definitely. So is
it positive or negative?
Yeah, it's all learning. I think there's so much learning to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is really cool with like traveling and what you pick up from it, like not so much like learning about yourself anymore and other people, you know, like fellow travelers or tourists, but you hear a lot of people talk about why they like a place, and you know, if you see some of those property programs where, you know, like mm. people move like a place in the sun or whatever, where yeah. they move to like some sunny place like Spain, southern France or Portugal for like, you know, when they are asked like why do they like that place, it's often like, oh, you know, like the food and the beaches and the weather, and people never really talk about the culture or like culture and traditions and like the locals themselves. Locals.
I think like before I started traveling with you, I didn't really have that too much. Sometimes, you know, when you're in a club, you start talking to someone because you're outside having cigarettes and drinks and you just want to like clear your mind a little bit. And that's when you meet some locals or other partying people in general. But it was the first time when we started like, you know, actually meeting some people and going, you know, letting them show us places where they go and really trusted them. So that was, I think it's like the biggest.
Yeah. Yeah, locals,
we like to
sort of think with the idea in mind that like locals make the best tour guides.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that two guys that like really stand out for us were like, were they both called Bogdan when we were in like Eastern Slovakia? Was it Bogdan and Bogdan? Or were they, because one was definitely, we met a lot of Bogdans on that
yeah,
trip.
Yeah, Romania, many Bogdans.
Romanian Bogdans and Slovakian Bogdan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we were in Slovakia there. But anyway, we met these two guys when we were out drinking one night. And we only had one night there. And they were like very like welcoming and accommodating, mm-hmm. and they were like super friendly
yeah.
guys that were just, they just lived there. And because we only had an evening there, we didn't really have much time for like any kind of like sightseeing per se.
Yeah, we arrived when it was really pitch black, so yeah. so it was a bit difficult.
Yeah,
they just we just asked them because the bar we were in was closing, and we asked them, is there any other place worth going to? And they said that they do have an idea where to go, and they took us to the most amazing underground club, and we had really great time there.
That was an amazing bar, and it's interesting because I'm not sure if we would have ever found that by ourselves, because it was like an amazing sort of strip it had like the singing fountain, it had this big cathedral, had some of like the main highlights of the old town in this city called Košice. But the place that they led us to, because they basically said like, do you guys want to come with us, like, you know, it was sort of like, I don't know if they were already going there or yeah. that just the fact that they found, you know, two more new recruits, they decided, like, let's go there and let's show them, let's initiate them properly.
Yeah.
But we ended up basically following them down some dark
alleyway.
Yeah,
we were just like, yes, of course, it's amazing. Just take us to where you're going.
You could be taking us to a dungeon, like, for all we care. But, like,
and it was so random because we were going through streets with residential houses with and then a bit of warehouses.
There. For sure, there was no indication that there was anything that way. And there was mainly a lot of, like, buildings with, like, graffiti down the side and walls with graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
And even the club itself, which we have to say is not like a nightclub with your normal DJ playing, like, electronic music. It was very much like an underground, I would say it was kind of like a rock alternative / metal kind of bar, right?
Yeah.
It was called Coliseum.
Coliseum,
and,
yeah.
And the door to this place, like, there were no windows, there was no doorman, there was no signage to this place at all. It was basically like on either side of enormous concrete blocks was like a black door, you know, covered in graffiti with just like a metal handle.
Yeah.
And I remember they opened the handle and it was almost like
entering a different world.
Yeah, it was like a portal into a different thing. It was like, it was so much noise down there. You had to go down some steps and it was like, it was mind-blowing because mm-hmm. there was like colorful lights everywhere, and instead of people dancing on the dance floor, there were just benches. And it was one of those places where you're inside but you feel almost like you're outside.
Yeah, because ceiling was really, really high. Really, I think high. It was like at least 2-story worth of height in that building. I think it was some ex warehouse of some sort.
Yeah.
It had a bit of like maze. You could go like half the floor up and like play some games or just sit with your friends. Or there was
every wall was painted black.
Yeah, and everything was covered in like metal posters, like
metal
posters.
Yeah, actually, it turns out there was a small stage in there, and there were actually a lot of posters from like reasonably big bands and stuff that had played there. But that was an amazing atmosphere because it felt like we'd been given the secret kind of key to something.
Yeah.
And did we see any like tourists or foreigners in there whatsoever? I mean,
there was this one guy.
Oh, we did meet one guy from Syria.
Yeah.
Who was very like interesting guy, but he was the only one.
Yeah, but he was not there as a tourist. He was living there.
He was living there, I think, because he was studying like biochemistry or something like that. I don't know, but it was pretty much like an insider's local thing, and that's like brings me on to another reason why we think it's like really cool is that it sort of defeats any stereotypes, or it definitely challenges them, or any kind of assumptions you have about people from a certain place or even from a certain kind of subculture, or you know, anything like that, because it seems that there's so many, you know, like defined genres and types of people now that some people feel like, well, you know, I couldn't maybe be friends with someone like that or like this, or you know, so many people that I've met or you know that I've had as friends that haven't really maybe traveled so much have certain ideas about people from countries when they've never been to that country, or maybe because they've met someone from, say, I don't know, maybe from Belarus, or imagine they've met someone from Greece or Italy or something.
Yeah. And they know everything.
Yeah, they base, you know, the whole people, they kind of like generalize the whole people based on that. And I think there's nice people and nasty people everywhere.
Yeah, definitely.
Which basically tells you that people are all the same, but people are interestingly different with their like cultures and traditions, you know. Like as we know, and as you'd know, like if you go to, you know, kind of countries of Slavic culture, like, you know, places in the Balkans or Eastern Europe, then
certain things,
drinking is definitely like, you know, part of the furniture, like
and your grandma being the best chef in the world, that's also
big respect for the babushkas. 100%. Yeah, certain places, certain things are valued a lot more highly than other things.
Yeah,
and you can also like end up offending people by mistake as well, and there's so many different like cultural quirks and things that actually learning about them becomes really fascinating, because you feel like, wow, I didn't know that people from this place were so friendly, or you know, I didn't know that it was custom here to do this, or I didn't know that this was a tradition. And you know, compared to your own culture from, you know, however you've been brought up, then it can be wildly different, you know, it can be quite a learning curve.
opens your mind that people in different places live in wildly different conditions and under different rules. And you know, you get to reflect on that as well. Like, is it, maybe it's better, maybe it doesn't make much sense, but definitely people can also share their insight on this. Like, so when usually many people don't agree with the way the country works, they always have the insider knowledge about, like, you know, what's make their country not such a great place to live or the best place to live. There's always ups and downs.
It seems like a recurring theme that almost every country that we've been to that I can think of anyway, people are not completely satisfied with the way that the government handles the country. So maybe it's just like a thing in the world or in Europe, I don't know, but definitely there's always like room for improvement to be done, or people definitely feel quite a lot like the government's got their own agenda, obviously as they do, and that either things are being taken for them or not provided, or there's, you know, there's things that are going on that are unfair, and distinct like lack of opportunity, I think sometimes it seems. Mm-hmm. It seems 100% like the poorer countries that like we visited tend to have like people being kind everywhere, but they tend to stand out as people being a lot more generous and a lot more like warm and welcoming in places where, you know, if you look at their economic standing, is nowhere, even in the world, alone say Europe. So you know, that is quite a strange thing. So it seems people give more when they have less.
Yeah, they're more generous and they also more thoughtful about like, do you need something? Are you feeling cold? Are you feeling hungry? They always will try to take care of you and make you like comfortable.
Quite often it seems that you're not allowed to you're not allowed to do things for yourself. Like in Slovakia, like for sure it's a way that, you know, that if you've sort of become a friend with someone and you've had like a friendly kind of interaction with them, you won't really be allowed to pay for food, because if you've gone like been welcomed into someone's home, or you've been like, you know, offered to go out somewhere to eat or somewhere, like people won't really let you pay for food. Mm-hmm. People will want to see if you need a drink, and you know, I always have this idea that if the place, the people are poorer, then it would be nice to be able to buy people some drinks, and maybe like if we're going to get some snacks or some stuff to eat, I want to be able to buy it. Mm-hmm. And I'm never allowed to buy it, and it's just like I'm not allowed to pay for any drinks, and I'm not allowed
hospitality.
Like if it's in Slovakia and it's time to go and buy the sausage, like, you know, I'm never allowed to buy the sausage. I'm never allowed to pay for the sausage or the beer or, you know, the spirits or anything. So I don't know.
I mean, it is nice, and like I hope like people in more places were like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's to do with wanting to leave like a positive impression of the country, which I think that you can form some of that by yourself, and you can feel like, oh, okay, I really like this place, and not just because, oh, the weather's great or the nature is beautiful or stuff is really cheap, which seems to be a massive motivation for some people, but often those are the things, they're not the most important, like, to us, if it's really cheap or not, you know?
Yeah. Some experience is just worth spending the money, and it's just the money, you know? It's not like you have to sell your arm and leg to get something. It's just the way people, like, sustain themselves, and we, if we have a bit more of that, then why not share and make place a bit better?
Yeah, definitely. I think that the only way that you can have the final word, if you do make some friends in another country when you travel, and especially if it's in a place where, you know, in general, say salaries and opportunities and stuff are lower than where you've come from, the only way that maybe you will be able to pay for some drinks or some food is that, like, you know, when you're going to leave and you're going to say goodbye, you can get them some kind of gift, and that way that, like, you can play them at their own game, because it won't be custom to, like, turn down a gift. So if you give them some kind of gift, then they often, like, they're not really allowed to say no. so they won't refuse you a gift. But if it's the rest of the time, then good luck, you know, good luck trying to sort of pay. And I think that makes like amazing memories. And I think that that's another really important thing with travel, is that like, instead of just making friends in your hometown, and having quite a small, maybe you have friends already in different countries or around the world, but there's so many chances to make more that mm-hmm. you know, if you were to dot out the people you know and the friends on a map, you, instead of just being looking in a small area, you'd be looking at like a massive part of the world now, where you know, I've even made some friends in Europe, like met some really cool people that were traveling in Europe, actually live in places all the way from South America over to like, you know, Southeast Asia, that is mm-hmm. where they actually live the rest of the time. So now you have friends in, you know, all corners of the world. So and by traveling, you never know when you're gonna maybe arrive in their country or they're gonna arrive in your country and you can meet again.
Yeah, and that's amazing. And also it's so easy to stay in touch because, you know, there are social media apps, there's WhatsApp, and it's just so easy to, you know, check with them, how are they doing, especially in that time, and sustain that relationship.
Yeah, some places they have not heard of WhatsApp though, as I've found.
Okay, but some Instagram in general,
I tend to use Instagram. The main reason I think I've kept that over the years is that it seems to be like a common thing that a lot of people have that they own, mm-hmm. Whereas like WhatsApp and the mobile codes and stuff, some people use, like, I think it's called Viber or something mm-hmm. like that instead of WhatsApp.
Okay.
And other apps that are basically like WhatsApp.
Yeah, just like to communicate between each other.
Yeah, and you'd end up installing so many different apps like that. So, yeah, I think that's staying in touch. And it allows people to see what their friends are now doing on their like travels and in their daily lives, and they can see what you're up to.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you've become like more connected around the world, and you know, you've learned things along the way. So I think there's so many benefits. It's really hard to think about any downsides of getting yourself out there and traveling, to be honest, because
mm-hmm.
I think it's some of the best money that you can spend.
Yeah.
And you know, going on to the sort of subject of what you should be spending your money on, you know, it seems like if you're from a, you know, Western capitalist kind of background, like if you are, then you're always pushed on the kind of like consumerist model, whereas mm-hmm. you're always being like advertised and you're always being like having something pushed under your nose. Like it always seems like just in time for the next payday, there is another thing that they want you to buy. And it's the thing is, those things won't last. Like a lot of those materialistic things, those possessions will eventually expire, and or they'll break, or they'll become like, you know, obsolete. But those kind of like memories that you get from having travels and exploring and getting out of your comfort zone, those are going to last for pretty much a lifetime,
mm-hmm.
because they're not the kind of memories that you're going to lose, really.
Yeah, and also there is no learning in just spending money, but there's so much learning when you travel. So for me, I learned it like step by step how much more I enjoy money spent traveling versus money spent on just, you know, basic stuff in a daily life. So yeah, definitely made saving for travel much easier, and holiday and you know, all the explorations got just so much better with it.
So would you say that travel has made you realize that, you know, once returning home and looking at everything you own and looking at, you know, the limited amount of space you've got to take on your travels, has it made you realize that you don't need much of the stuff that you actually own?
Yeah, it's just a burden to take care of it, to, you know, carry from one place to the other, and having less of everything, it's always a good direction, in my opinion. Just makes your life so much easier when it's not only about things. You get to focus on what you find important, more valuable.
Yeah, if you can only have like one sort of suitcase to fit everything, like let's say it's like an apocalypse situation right now, or like, you know, the house is on fire or something. It's slow fire, so you've got time to like pack, but like if you were to only put the things that you really, really felt like you needed, you really have to decide then, like, do I really need this or not? Because you can't fit everything.
Yeah.
And in a way, you realize, I think, that when you travel, you know, say weeks and weeks on end, maybe like months on end, you only need those things. Like, what else do you really need? Because it's nice to have some of those things back home. It's nice to have like extra amounts of clothes and you know, electronic devices and silly things, but you don't really miss them, to be honest.
Like, mm-hmm.
You know, you don't really miss much of the normal things. Like, yeah. I find the returning back from travels, it's always been a bit of a shock adjusting to being in the UK again. But, you know, there's so many things I own. You know, it's become less over the years, like material kind of objects, that you almost forget that you use those things a lot, or you realize that you didn't use them, mm-hmm. really, to be honest, because, you know, maybe your computer, maybe your camera, your phone, not really any other electronic devices you need, and some clothes, mm-hmm. maybe for a week, possibly 5 days to a week, that's about it. Maybe a couple of pairs of shoes, some sunglasses, a couple of tiny little like cosmetic grooming accessories, and
yeah, some like, you know, I always find like kitchen equipment is very untransferable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can get away with like having like two t-shirts, but like having two forks, not really. Unless you live by yourself, but that's different. Like, usually I find the most weight on things you own is in the kitchen.
Yeah, it does actually frustrate me sometimes. If you travel and like,
you
if
can't you eat like a human.
No, if you hire like an Airbnb or you go into like a hostel and use the kitchen area, you really miss like your utensils.
Yes.
Or like there's a certain like pot or pan that you'd usually like cook up something in, and that does not exist there.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're very much like toying with the idea of like, should we buy a frying pan to use it like twice, you know, and then leave it behind. Yeah. So
yeah, kitchen is very often missed, and good utensils can make your life so much better. My cooking life so much better.
For sure, but like we say, you can always do without it, and I think that this is like really powerful to realize that you know, that is why a lot of people that have sold up and decided to just hit the road, and whether they've used savings to fund their like long-term travels, or they've done the whole, you know, like digital nomad thing that's obviously becoming so much more popular, where you can work whilst you're on the road and you can earn money, or you're traveling around and you're working as you go. You know, if it's permitted in different countries, you can do little stints of work to keep supporting yourself. A lot of people sell, you know, most, like majority of their possessions, not just because they won't be able to take them with them, but because they just realize that it's just money that's sitting there that they could be using to fund more travels. Yeah. I mean, if you look at how many shoes the average woman owns, I mean,
why are you talking about her? Just women, excuse me. I know so many guys who have a lot of shoes.
Okay, maybe men as well then. Let's say just like one thing that people may collect or have a lot of that's not really necessary.
Yeah.
If you were to sell those things, I mean, you can fund like a whole trip in itself, or even just pay for a flight to somewhere.
That's very easy, and then soon after you realize that you were not using them anyway, so they were just taking up space, taking up your, you know, mental calmness, and you could liquidize it, like, you know, flow the cash out of it.
It's a bit of a thing where we build up a lot of these possessions and things, and we find that people that we meet, especially people, new people on our travels from places where people don't have a lot, you see how much happiness like people have when they actually don't have very much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they seem to have more of a connection with like life itself and not taking things for granted. And your possessions don't really say anything about you. So, you know, there's so many people that really aren't very interesting because they maybe have a lot of possessions and devices and so on, you know, and that is kind of what they use to justify like their hard work in life. Like, you know, I've been really successful, like I have such and such amount of cars or handbags or, you know, wristwatches or something. But
yeah,
when you meet people that don't like obsess over those kind of things and they're not always fantasizing about the next, you know, valuable item or whatever it is that they can buy, then they really like you, they really teach you a lot, and you learn a lot about happiness that way, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think for some people, just spending a lot of money on certain things is a coping mechanism for their like unhappiness within, and they just try to, like, you know, fix these holes with like filling it in with like luxury items.
You could buy a new handbag to like scream into it, like
yeah, it'll make you happy for like very short amount of time, but in the long term it's not something which you make you happy like for real. When you wake up, you open your eyes and you just feel like, that's life I want to have.
Yeah, I did something really stupid before my like motorcycle road trip in the summer, just gone, and these exact trainers that I'm wearing now, like, I don't know why, but when I went to go shopping to I wanted to buy some swimming shorts, basically, so that I had some swimming trunks, because I don't really have swimming shorts in London because I don't really swim there, and I wanted to buy some swimming shorts, and I only had like a couple of days left until I was going to leave, so obviously I was trying to like save as much money as possible. I was trying not to spend, you know, as it were, because I'd received my last paycheck and I had about 9 or 10 days before I was going to leave. So my plan was to just act like I was completely broke so that I wouldn't spend anything. So anyway, so I went to, like, you know, a very well-known sports clothing store, and I went in to buy the shorts, and obviously I managed to find the shorts quite quickly. And for some reason, I think it's like the longer you stay inside a shop, the more shit you will end up buying. I ended up walking out of a brand new pair of Adidas trainers. Like, I spent like £60 on them,
mm-hmm.
right? And the stupidest, most ridiculous thing is, like, one, I didn't need any more trainers to wear. Like, I'm not a person that has many shoes at all. I didn't even take them on the trip.
Oh, God.
I did not even take them with me. So I bought them and I got home, and I instantly regretted it. It was like, I felt really guilty for what I'd done. And I looked at them and it was like, I'd taken them out of the box. I'd looked at them and I just, almost like I dropped them and I just walked away. I walked away from them. It was like, you know, I don't know. I had to remove myself from the place, and I just parked them away in my room. I couldn't take them because I didn't have enough space.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, they were so clean and, like, you know, shiny looking.
It was not worth it.
It would seem pointless because mm-hmm. any kind of shoes I wear, you know, through a holiday, they smell horrendous by the end of it, because I wear one pair, you know,
all the
way through. Yeah, I would just take one pair of shoes and there will be the shoes. So yeah, it taught me a lesson about, you know, impulsive buying on things that you just really don't need. And I could have spent that, like, £60 on some fuel or on like some food for, like, you know, a couple of weeks, you know, like whatever it would have been, like anything mm-hmm. that I would have really needed. So
yeah
100%. Lesson learned.
I mean, God bless returns policy.
Oh, yeah.
Flexible returns policy. Yeah. So you can always, like, you know, bring them back. But I don't think you had enough time, though.
No, I didn't return them, and when I got back they were kind of like, you know, they were waiting for me, and by that time, like, you know, I did start like wearing them a lot, but it was pointless, because I received another paycheck, like, when I returned anyway, mm-hmm. so I could have just bought them then. But it was brainless, like, you know, spending, really.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think delaying the some purchases just ends up that sometimes you just don't need that stuff. I wanted to buy some, like, motorbike gear or some, like, side bags, and turns out that I don't have a motorbike anymore because we moved to Spain.
What were you going to put the side bags onto?
Yeah, now nothing else. Because we wouldn't have any use out of them. So, uh-huh. yeah, definitely trying to save, but just not spending.
I'm going to go for, like, trying to eat this cherry now, but, like, do you think it's got a stone in it?
It does look like it has a stone. Okay, yeah.
Right, I need,
so should we wrap it up?
No, I need you to spot me in case I choke on the cherry. So,
okay.
Well, we could come towards an ending.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I'm just looking at you carefully with this cherry.
It's stuck to the bottom of the glass, so I should have allowed a bit of drink there to like.
Okay.
Oh. Mm.
He's fine. Okay, guys, thank you very much for staying with us in this episode. I hope you enjoyed it.
That was amazing.
You love that cherry.
It's an alcoholic cherry right there.
Oh yeah.
It's actually a drink that's made with cherries. It's like it's a Portuguese drink. Portuguese. So
Yeah. So.
I'm sorry.
Oh no, that was some nasty ASMR.
It's some cherry. I don't want to choke on it. Some cherry ASMR. Yeah, if you've got any anything you'd like to add, or you've got any questions about today's show, we really need to make these accounts because
we're
going to be honest with you listeners right now. We haven't actually made the Facebook or Twitter accounts.
Yeah, we're just recording the episodes now, and
we're making out like
we just sign up to everything after we like release the first episode.
We're like making promises for things we haven't done yet. It's like if I've ever been running late and like my friends ask me like, "Where are you?" and it's just like, "Yeah, I'm at the train station," and actually I haven't even left the house yet.
Oh my god!
It always backfires.
Always, it always like turns out because it's not possible that it took like, so long.
So your train is coming in now. It's just like, yeah, it should be, and you still haven't got on the train.
You're putting socks on.
Yeah. We're gonna make a promise actually. So on the day that we're making this episode, we're recording it. It's the afternoon right now actually, and we've had a couple of days of solid rain here in Spain, and the rain's all gone, and we're looking at a nicer day, but it's probably like coming into the early evening now. So before we go to bed tonight, we are gonna create the accounts so that you can, you know, send anything you want, and we want to see, just to remind anyone, if you didn't watch the pilot episode, we really want some ideas for like an alternate backdrop, like a different flag design. So you know, keeping in mind that the podcast is about travel and it's called Sweaty Hugs Salty Kisses,
mm-hmm.
We're going to go into the reason for the name next time on next episode, so make sure you stay tuned. We want you to send in any kind of submissions. Do you know what? You don't even have to do the design digitally. You can do us like a sketch. You can also draw it on paper,
just
right?
Share us ideas. We can do some like simple designs.
Still like your younger siblings' colouring pencils, like preferably not when they're using them, or your niece or nephew.
We don't want
nephew.
Anyone crying.
Yeah, we don't want to hear any crying for sure. But yeah, any kind of ideas you've got, you know, hopefully not anything like rude or too rude. I mean, it's not exactly like child friendly, but we'd rather not have like a massive hairy cock behind us.
Yeah, we don't want YouTube to take us down for the thumbnail with like some jizz coming out around the backdrop.
but we're all up for like humor, so if you've got any ideas for a flag or a banner of some kind, then yeah, please let us know actually. And
if you enjoy the episode, just leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Preferably, we would like to get some reviews on Apple Podcasts. And we Manthana. Will see you next time.
Yeah, take care, everyone, and stay safe. Have a good one.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.